All right, we are live. Welcome back to From College to Combine. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Ciccoli, joined here by Riley Millett. How are you doing today?
Been a good day. You know, took a little nap earlier today. You know, always the best part. Doing well.
You know what also made a great day?
What's that?
What temperature is it outside? What is the weather today?
About 70. We're looking at a lot. We're looking about 70. Was it 73?
Give or take, yeah. And with, you know, us being college students, we have a quad. And seeing people flock to the quad like it's, you know, spring break on the beach, it's something to behold, something that was nice to see, especially I'm still not at the point where I take it for granted, especially with how COVID was treated and all that.
Agreed, yeah. COVID really wrecked that, but we're back in full swing, baby. Give me 100 degrees. I don't even care.
Absolutely. We do have a really fun show lined up today because we are going to be doing a rookie mock draft. You know, for a lot of our Dynasty listeners, that is what we're here for. You know, ultimately, we're preparing you for how you deal with these type of prospects and ultimately how you value them against each other. A lot we've talked about how they stack up within their position. But when you're on the clock, are you taking that running back, that wide receiver? Where's the tier break? We're going to break down all of that today. Before I get into it, I'll announce that you can follow me on Twitter at Michael_Ciccoli. You follow Riley here at Riley_Millett. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention our amazing hosts of this show in a way. For frequency's sake, at FFSQC, where I started, where this podcast started ultimately, and of course, the people who are responsible for everything going on right now, our IDP guys, so to speak. Follow IDP guys on Twitter. You can check out their website with some amazing written content at idpguys.org. And if you want to subscribe, the early bird pricing is still available. The Discord channel is a fun time. Have every single one of your questions answered live, immediate, whatever you need. We are there for you. And you got 100 like-minded people. Meet some friends. Join a league. Couldn't recommend it enough. But without further ado, let's go to our first segment, Riley. We want to kick off with, I think there's a very important thing we address at the top of the show.
Yeah, and within the last week, Dwayne Haskins, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has passed away in a car accident, which it's always so shocking whenever that happens to someone so young. He was 24 or 25, 24. Either one, but yeah, 24. I mean, I'm not going to dwell on it for too long because there's been so many other people who've commented on this who either know him personally or know the situation better. But yeah, it's super sad and real sobering to the world of inside the mind of an NFL athlete in a way.
Yeah, it's something that I thought important to bring up on this show because, you know, especially with how people like Adam Schefter have treated him in recent days, it's not how someone should be remembered. And how Dwayne Haskins should be remembered is somebody that put on his, you know, put on his helmet and led that Ohio State team to one of the best Ohio State teams. He should be remembered for the man that he was, the leader that he was, somebody that was well respected in the Steelers locker room and stuck around because of that. You know, that's not something that's a given. That's someone that has city, but that I wish I got to know. So with obviously everyone's going to miss him, my heart goes out to everyone involved, you know, obviously his wife, his family, his teammates on the Steelers and everyone that's played to him, especially to Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin, who I know have been taking it especially hard given how close they were at their time during Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so rest in peace, Dwayne. But we're gonna transition to some other news. Riley, what other headlines caught your I obviously for different reasons this week.
The Lamar Jackson contract situation is still laboring on into whatever week we're in of the offseason. Obviously something to monitor as he's on a contract year now. There's been a lot of dialogue we've heard from him about it's not about the money and, you know, he's kind of just waiting for the right offer and waiting to see how everything falls into place. It's hard for me to pay attention to this that much because I just don't imagine that anything crazy happens. I imagine he signs an extension. They do whatever it takes to keep him. He won the MVP as a member of the Baltimore Ravens, and I think that's just how his career is going to go.
it does feel like a complete insult that Lamar Jackson has not been extended. It makes zero sense to me. The only thing I can understand, none of it, honestly. I can understand if you want to be hesitant about him as a passer, but he's improved in each of these seasons. He has an MVP under his belt, and it's just his second season. You know, just because he doesn't have a ton of playoff experience or success doesn't mean he can't have it. He was a rookie his first year. I'm not expecting anything there. He was an MVP in his second year. And, yes, he lost in the playoffs, but that's not uncommon of young, full-time starter, first time doing that. That's not a reason to be a red flag. It's an MVP season. And then the next year, the Ravens were primed. Ravens were primed to be Ravens were primed to lead this team to the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson was the reason he was there, and then he got hurt, and they weren't there. So the recent reports have all suggested that Lamar Jackson will be exercising the tag. He's playing on that. He's extension eligible, but he's not on it yet. So I expect this to still play out a little bit more. If he puts up big numbers, the team wants to get ahead of this before the cap explodes again. It pays well to extend your quarterbacks before everyone else extends their quarterbacks. I think the Ravens are going to butcher this situation, but either way, it doesn't change much for his fantasy value in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing we'll mention is in an interview with The Athletic, Jason Fitzgerald from Over the Caps of the Deshaun Watson deal, the new contract he signed with the Cleveland Browns, quote, makes no sense at all. And he's concerned over the power dynamic with the past week in terms of the ownership in the locker room and adding Deshaun Watson to that. What do you make of that?
I've said this before, but I'm so hoping this deal blows up on Cleveland's face. And it has nothing to do with me being a Steelers fan. This was a questionable decision from the start. It still is, and questionable puts it lightly. Deshaun Watson is only a Cleveland Brown because they fully guaranteed his deal, $240 million. The Panthers refused to do it. The Falcons refused to do it. The Browns fell out of contention because they refused to do it. And then they're like, screw it. We burnt our bridge with Baker. We're putting all the chips in. We're putting our reputation. We're putting our money. We're putting our future on Deshaun Watson. And doing all that does create the power dynamic or bad dynamic that Jason Fitzgerald brought up. Where if Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson don't gel, Kevin Stefanski's gone. There's no question about it. If Deshaun Watson doesn't like him, if he overcooks his burger one day, Kevin Stefanski is gone because Deshaun Watson holds all the keys to the kingdom. Everything that he wants, he's going to get as long as he's a Brown and he doesn't get yeeted from the league like he probably should. So there's a lot that goes into a decision like that. I still obviously wasn't privy to it, and I can't quite understand it appropriately. But these cases are still pending. There are still a lot of developments with Deshaun Watson news. Everyone should be following, especially if you're rostering him in any of your leagues. And I still fully expect him to get suspension. Riley, how many games do you think he'll miss in 2020?
The consensus has been 6 to 8. I would say 8. There's little basis for cases of this stature. I mean, we've seen, a whole bunch of sexual assault and sexual violence cases across the NFL. But this is something more serious. And after an age where sexual violence is being taken so much more seriously. So I would say 8+.
Yeah. And given that, I think that's about right where he's going to get that 8 to 10. Ezekiel Elliott comes to mind of somebody that was never convicted, but honestly had far less evidence against him. And he got, he's still plenty. I'm not excusing any of it, but he got 6 games. Six is bare minimum. I think 10 is about where it'll cap off, maybe 12, but I don't think it'll go to 12, which honestly does put that sweet spot at 8. There's a lot of information. There's new cases being opened. There's new provisions going at it. This isn't disappearing away from Deshaun Watson. And as long as that's true, it's not disappearing away from the NFL. So while that's all happening, that's a black mark. The NFL will want to swing the hammer down and stand on the right side of this. What that ends up being, that's still, yet to be seen.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you want to dive into? Or do we get to the meat of the show?
No, bring it to us. Bring it to us, the meat.
Okay. All right. So the meat of the show, as I mentioned before, is a rookie mock draft. I am going to open this up to all of our amazing listeners as well. I am putting it in our StreamYard chat right now. Please join if you are interested in, I'm hoping that actually works. It should be on our YouTube comments. It should be everywhere with a live chat. Everyone is welcome to join so we can have a collective draft. And in the meantime, we can give a couple minutes for that. Riley, what type of strategy do you take into a rookie draft? What are you looking for?
So the way I've been attacking it recently is in my dynasty leagues, I have three of them. I only have one team with a first round pick this year, and that's the 109. So I've kind of been trying to diagnose who's going to kind of fall to that area. And it's been kind of tough. I mean, once you get past the 107, 108-ish, the water starts getting a little muddy. So I've kind of gone with the volume approach to see, do a whole bunch of mock drafts and see who falls in that area. And that's just me personally, just because that's where I happen to be picking. But for, you know, people in other slots, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about who to take in the top five, valuing wide receivers over running backs, a side that I tend to err on as well. And I know you do. So Kenneth Walker has kind of been slipping a little later than I would take him. But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing.
Yeah. And my big thing with all these drafts and something I mentioned in a recent video on IDP, guys, if you know, check out the YouTube channel because it's a fantastic follow as well. Some great content there. But I recently made a video about how to avoid making common mistakes in Dynasty, especially in those startups. And one of them I mentioned is to take value in rookie draft. Do not take what you need. Take the best player available, because there's so many transactions, so many trades, and there's so many movements that are going to happen that when you're drafting for a running back, you might not need it. And all of a sudden you're reaching and not taking the value that you should at receiver, or vice versa. It depends. It obviously depends how the board falls, but don't draft for need in these rookie drafts. We're going to get this going. Obviously didn't have a ton of people join in, but that is 100% fine, because we're going to break down those picks all the same. You ready to go, Riley?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, you're kicking it off. All right. Well, we have Breece Hall. Let's stop that timer for a second. But we have Breece Hall going 101, Treylon Burks number 2, Garrett Wilson number 3. Any of that surprise you?
I mean, we've gone through our rankings, and we both have Garrett Wilson higher than Treylon Burks. I would take him 102 in a mock draft.
Whoa. Did you just say I have Garrett Wilson ahead of Treylon Burks? Because my friend, you got to recheck your rankings.
Oh my goodness. I forgot you're one of those people. You're one of those people.
I'm one of those good people who thinks Treylon Burks is by far, in a way, the wide receiver one of this class. But I have no quarrels with either of them. I like them both. I like Treylon Burks more because of his size. But ultimately, this doesn't surprise me either. Now,
yep, not shocked.
Yeah, and honestly, this is a tier break, which is partly why, if you don't mind unpausing it, because I can't make a pick, but it's a tough spot, because I do view that as a tier break, where I do, you know, I like Breece Hall a lot, I like Treylon Burks a lot, I like Garrett Wilson. I'm not as high on Drake London. I've been on the record with that. You know I am. You know I'm low, and I'm not going to take him here. I'm also not as high on Isaiah Spiller. I don't quite love Jameson Williams enough to take him here. This, if I am the 104, I am exploring a trade, because the value of the 104 is a lot higher than I perceive it to be. But with all that said, I'm going to take someone who I do view as the best rusher in the class. I have some real worries about his ability to catch the ball, which is why I have him as my RB2 and not RB1. But he is fun to watch. He is a talented player, someone who dominated for Michigan State. I will take Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, that's what I would have done in the same situation. There's the Twitter discourse lately has been, are you going to take Kenneth Walker or Drake London? And I've seen some people leaning very strongly in the Drake London area, and I like Drake London a little bit more than you, but I'll still take Kenneth Walker for the same reasons. I think Kenneth Walker is an insanely good rusher. He's still my RB1 in this class, and I'm really not afraid of that. I think he's just I think he's more explosive than Breece Hall, and he brings an element that of electricity that Breece Hall doesn't. So I would have taken Kenneth Walker over Drake London. Drake London goes fifth. I've kind of been growing more to like him every single day.
With every comment I disparage him, you like him a little bit more.
That's kind of, yeah, it's true. I mean, with his, you know, his the size and the speed is something that no one else in this class really has.
Draylen Burks.
Draylen Burks is not as fast as Drake London, but that's okay. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on after that. There's Spiller at 106. I wouldn't take him over Jameson Williams or Chris Olave. I'm not super high on him either. He doesn't pop off tape. He tested fine, but just not super high on him. I would have taken Olave at 6, and I know you would have done the same, right?
Yes, I would have.
Yep. And Jameson Williams, number 7, who another guy I'm growing to like a little bit more. I've been following Nate Tice on Twitter, who's just such a great follow. He's a big Twitter film guy, and he's been diving into Jameson Williams lately and pulling out a lot of the really subtle parts of his route running, which is really cool to see. Someone who has such great over the top ability and running really intricate routes with such fine details. So yeah, I like both those picks, and this is my problem now, is because I view this as a significant tier break. This is a huge tier break here. After
it's very interesting. We didn't plan it, but we've positioned ourselves at two different tier breaks in the first round, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm so divided. Like, I've been trying, I will try to do everything I can to trade up into the at least the first 8 picks. I would like to get in the top 6 in the league that I have this pick, but it feels like a guy that I'm really high on, Chris Olave, who's, you know, kind of vaulted from, he used to be drafted like in the top of the second, now he's going in the mid late first. A guy I would have totally loved to take with this pick a few weeks ago. And with his great performance at the combine, he's getting drafted a lot higher. I think I'm just going to take who I've been taking lately, a wide receiver that we haven't seen a whole lot on tape because he's been dealing with injuries. But of all the players here left on the board, I think he's just the most talented, and that's George Pickens.
We watch plenty of tape on George Pickens. We like George Pickens here.
No, we do like George Pickens. It's tough to put stock in a guy like that who just hasn't played recently. You can't say a lot of things about him that you can say about Olave and Williams just because they were so productive either 2 years ago or this year.
Yeah, fair enough. And after George Pickens went, we have Malik Willis going 110. Seems a little bit high, but I could see it happening if he goes to the right spot, gets that early draft round investment for the rushing upside. Right after that, Kyren Williams, which it would take a real reach for me to see him in the first round, but I think maybe ADP still a little bit adjusting there. David Bell goes in at 112. Jahan Dotson at 201. Trey McBride at 202. Rashad White, 203. And that is a little bit upsetting because I was kind of hoping Rashad White got to me.
Jahan Dotson was the other guy I was considering at the ninth. It was between Pickens and Dotson.
That's fair. They are back to back, and I think in both of our rankings, where, you know, I do favor Pickens again because of the size difference, but Jahan Dotson is a very clean player, someone I like out of Penn State as well. Now I know a lot of people here at top of the ADP as well would be smashing or screaming at me or simultaneously telling me to pick Christian Watson. But I am not going to do that because I have my serious reservations for someone like Watson, who really put up very minimal production out of North Dakota State against inferior competition, excuse me, and really did not do much of that until, you know, his senior year. Like, it's there's a lot of red flags I think people are avoiding with Christian Watson because of the testing, because of people saying, oh, yeah, I saw a comp the other day. I don't know if you saw it. We might have talked about it. Someone compared him to the DK Metcalf, and it might have been like an official NFL account. It might have been the NFL, honestly, account. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But people are going insane trying to hype up this group, and I don't see that with Christian Watson. Now, this is tough. This is where I would tell a lot of people what I just said before, where don't feel pressure to tilt because of what happened. My best player available, I think you know who it is. It would be Zamir White out of Georgia, and I'm going to make that pick. It's someone that I've liked a lot in the process, somebody that I do think will get day two capital, which is very important for a running back. And I'm not going to tilt because I took Kenneth Walker in the first round. I will take the player I view as, you know, the best possible player. I was seriously considering somebody who is still on the board, but I'll let you share who is just went in the last four selections.
All right, so Kenny Pickett went 205, a guy that you like to slander a lot. I'm not super high on him, but I know that you're a Pickett hater. Justin Ross went 206.
I just realized this is a – this has a super – it's not drafting a super flex ADP at least. No. But I don't know. Sorry, go on.
Justin Ross at 206, he's been a climber lately. James Cook at 207, who I think that's decent value for him there actually. I would take him a little earlier in the second round. And then Damian Pierce, a guy I wouldn't take that high in the second round. So nice little back-to-back there with the running backs. I think I know who you were considering at 204. And if it's Tyler Algier, then I'm not going to take him. I'm pretty sure I'm going to take this guy. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anybody. Yeah, I'm going to take Sky Moore, a wide receiver who, I mean, I know that we've looked at a decent amount. And he's just a really good route runner. I mean, he's one of the best looking highlight reels, and he's one of the smaller guys. He's 5'10", but he's so quick. He's so, you know, side to side in his routes, and it's really exciting. And it's the electric playmaking that guys like Rondell Moore have gotten really high draft capital out of. So I'll roll the dice on Sky Moore at 209.
And you know what's funny is that's exactly who I was considering. Oh. I was genuinely considering Sky Moore, a nice little slot guy who I do think – honestly, I tweeted this the other day. I view him as a perfect fit with the Pittsburgh Steelers, sliding into the slot role that Juju has vacated. The Steelers are a lock to take someone on day two, most likely. I can't imagine – I don't think day one. But they will be taking someone on they will be taking a receiver. I think Sky Moore fits in well there. Very crisp route runner, a little bit undersized, which is my only concern, why we're seeing him – at 209 rather than anything earlier, but I think that's a very good pick. Christian Watson went right after at 210. Matt Corral, 211. Weidemeyer, the tight end, at 212. Way too early, but that's all right. Sam Howell at 301. Brian Robinson at 302. And Isaiah Likely at 303. Now, Brian Robinson, I'll bring this up real quick, is the one guy of everyone we've seen that I think will – I have a feeling like he's going to get day two capital, Riley. I really do. I don't know if he'll get a good spot, but I think I again, there's nothing I've been talking into reality is the Titans taking him in the third round. It feels like such a meant to be selection. Some a team that needs another runner. They don't have a backup really, and that's where Brian Robinson can slide in there. I think he's a steal for the upside he has in the third round, given the talent he has as a rusher. I have my own concerns about him, which is why I believe he comes in around my RB6, but still something that I want to monitor. But now that I'm on the clock, I have a lot of interesting decisions. I'll talk it out that I am considering Tyler Algier, John Mechie, Alec Pierce, and Tyler Beatty a little bit. Those are the names that are popping out to me. Wandell Robinson is a little bit too small for me to consider him here. I'm fairly off my board because of the size concerns. And you know I love Tyler Algier, and this is the true test for me, where I do have to stay true to my message of taking the best player available, where I don't really want to leave my rookie draft with three running backs. But if that's the way the board falls, I do like Alec Pierce a lot. Alec Pierce is my highest-ranking wide receiver of the ones that are left, but I do have Tyler Algier ranked higher in terms of if I had a big board. I have Tyler Algier as a top-five running back. I have Alec Pierce as my wide receiver 10. Given that I do project Tyler Algier to sneak into that third round, I think Pierce has a higher chance of jumping around or falling around four. I will take Tyler Algier, stick to my roots, stick to a guy that I like quite a lot. We have a very interesting run of players going right there.
Yeah, I was afraid you would do that because I would have snapped him up here. He's never going to fall to the 309 in a real draft, but yeah, Jerome Ford went 305, a guy me and you are both pretty low on. It's really strange to see Jerome Ford go in the same round in the same vicinity as Brian Robinson and Tyler Algier, two running backs that we both really like and are miles better than Jerome Ford. Maybe Jerome Ford just benefited from playing with Desmond Ridder and being a part of a CFB team. But I digress. Desmond Ridder and Carson Strong followed right behind him, and Greg Dulcich, the tight end. Okay, let's bring it home. Not home, one more round. But I'm looking here at John Metchie and Alec Pierce.
You know what pick I'm willing.
What'd you say?
You know what pick I'm mind willing you to do.
Yes, he wants me to take Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce is a good player. I think he's a nice little sleeper, but I am going to take the Bama product. I'm going to take John Metchie, who I know that you've been really hands-off as of late. I think based on it's every time I think of John Metchie, I can't get it out of my head, the fact that he stayed on the field at the same time as Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith in the Alabama offense, and he produced very well. And I know that was one of the best college offenses we might ever see that has, you know, taken the field in the last 70 years. But he was a part of one of the greatest offenses there was. And, you know, he's fallen this far because of injury concerns and the fact that he didn't produce that much once Mac Jones and all those great seniors left. But, he's a great senior. He was a great senior.
He was definitely a senior.
Great senior.
Yeah.
But I think he has the highest upside of anyone left on this board, way higher upside than any of these running backs. And, just based on his pedigree and where he came from, I would project a higher upside for him than I would Alec Pierce.
Yeah. And I understand. I definitely agree that the upside is more. I was willing you to take John Metchie so I can take Alec Pierce here, which is what I will do. But I'm going to quickly run through the names that went, which was Pierre Strong, Wandell Robinson, Tyler Beatty at the 312, Jeremy Rucker at the 4-1, and then we have a couple ADP slip-ups of having Dustin Crum out of Kent State and De'Ara King out of Miami.
What Dustin Crum, huh? Let's get Dustin Crum some love.
We're not, but in theory, I think the names on the ADP that would be gone, just for reference, we want to give you obviously the best possible information that will be accurate. I would assume safely in a normal non-Superflex league that Alec Pierce, Jalen Tolbert, Khalil Shakir, who could go higher in the draft than people think, and possibly Calvin Austin, depending on draft investment, would be names that are probably gone by now, if not for the ADP being a little bit off in a 10-person CPU draft. But as I said, I will take Alec Pierce, somebody who I really fell in love with when I was doing a draft profile for IDP guys, which you could obviously check if you have the Early Bird subscription or any subscription to IDP guys, and check out our rookie profiles in the rookie mag. That was a lot of fun to do. Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati has good size, fairly good savvy route running, some great ball control in the air. I think he's somebody who's really slept on this draft. And if I get him in the third round, let alone the fourth, it's a smash pick every time for me.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm going to do, and you're going to hate it.
Do hate it because I just watched three tight ends and a quarterback go off the board.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of ignore them. But
we are.
Every year there's a fun little scat back who gets really great draft capital and ends up stealing receiving work from your favorite fantasy running back, and you say, what the heck is this guy doing on the field? He's a rookie, and he's tiny.
Yeah, his name's Tyler Beatty.
That it could be Tyler Beatty, but I think this year there's a really strong chance it could be Jerrion Ealy. So that's who I'm going to take here. Decent upside as a potential receiving back in the NFL. He's got some solid juice. He played at a good offense at Ole Miss with Matt Corral. So there's just more upside there than I would want with. I don't even remember who was still on the board. The board is gone, but just some kind of bargain bin guys. Not an especially deep class this year. I'll roll the dice on the short king, 5'8", 190, Jerrion Ealy.
If I'm going short, I don't mind the pick whatsoever, but Calvin Austin is a guy that's kind of intriguing through the process, just probably too small to make an impact at, I believe, 5'7", but someone who really has unbelievable speed and unbelievable speed can get good draft investment and therefore a longer leash in the fourth round. A long leash is not a bad thing. Jalen Tolbert of Southern Alabama was also someone I was looking at. And somebody who would definitely be off the board instead of the, 2, 4, 6 tight ends that the CPU decided, of all classes, this is the one we want to
dive into. They gave us Kate Otten, though. Kayvon at the 411.
They did give us Kayvon. But Jalen Tolliver was another guy that would be probably taken off the board. And again, like I mentioned, Khalil Shakir, somebody, if I talk about the Steelers mocking someone just because those are the mocks I've been following closest, Khalil Shakir is consistently mocked to the Steelers. I don't know if you've seen that, but in terms of a fourth, third round lock, it seems like he's happily sneaking into those ranges. You know, somebody who is not in the public limelight right now and somebody that maybe should be. So someone you could obviously read a rookie profile about, again, on the rookie mag at idpguys.org. But do you want to run through our team? Obviously, a little bit jaded with CPU ADP.
Yeah, you want
to run through your picks real quick.
Yep, you first.
Okay, so I'll start off. I drafted at the 104. I took Kenneth Walker. I came around. Took Zamir White, then Tyler Algier, and then Alec Pierce. How about you?
Yeah, leaving your draft with three top five running backs is pretty darn good. I drafted from 109. I got George Pickens, Sky Moore, John Mechie, and Jerrion Ealy.
And I like first half of that.
I really straight up. There's such a tear break after Chris Olave. It's not even funny.
And if we think about like this, I'll give this reference where two years ago, I was kicking off one of my dynasty rebuilds, and at the 109, I believe, I selected Justin Jefferson. I do not think that we have Justin Jefferson at 109 of this class. I don't think George Pickens and Malik Willis and even Chris Olave and Kyren Williams and David Bell, Jahan Dotson, those guys are not first round caliber, in my opinion, of a normal rookie draft. This is just it's a down class that we're going to see a lot of wide receivers get draft investment. I think this first round looks even more wide receiver heavy than it looks right here. But obviously things will change come the draft, and we will do another rookie mock draft the week after the NFL draft, just to give you guys the best possible information. But that will be our show. Thank you everyone for tuning in. You can follow me at Michael_Stacoli on Twitter. You can follow Riley here at Riley_Millette. I want to shout out and give a thank you to for Frequency's sake for starting us out on this and giving us a platform. So at FFSQC on Twitter. And of course, IDP guys for also putting us on their platform and helping me as a writer and contributing there at IDP guys on Twitter at idpguys.org for the website with all the content. Again, no better time to subscribe. Any final thoughts that you want to leave our wonderful listeners with, Riley?
I've been smelling this barbecue chicken right here. That's on my plate right in front of me for this whole show, and I'm going to eat it now.
That's funny. I'm smelling the steak that's in front of me right now as well. This is college living, ladies and gentlemen. I do thank everybody for tuning in. It's been a fun, fun time. Next week, we'll be back with one of our best shows yet, a first-round NFL mock draft from pick 1 to pick 32. We will be delivering the goods, breaking down each pick a little bit, and then going on to the next. It's going to be, for lack of a better word, baller. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Riley can't stand me. Have a good night.